Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Erin Bosch and I am co-chair of the membership committee. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every color and ethnic and religious background, sexual orientation, gender, and family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or abilities or inabilities. And the opening words will be read by Ann Urbanski.
The opening words are by Justin Owings. Thanks to Google, we can instantly seek out support for the most bizarre idea imaginable. If our initial search fails to turn up the results we want, we don't give it a second thought. Rather, we just try out a different query and search again.
And the Tedesco family will come forward for the chalice lighting.
Let the light of this chalice illuminate the inherent worth and dignity of every person and their labor on this weekend that is set aside to honor the benefits we enjoy from the fruits of labor.
I am very happy to be able to introduce to you Rob Brink. Rob served as a Christian minister for 15 years, five of those as a solo minister in a small church in Saugatuck, Michigan. Over the years, his love of science and human beings pushed him further and further to the theological left until he realized he couldn't be a minister anymore and resigned. This last year has been one of major transitions, including the loss of career, home, faith, and marriage. But he joins us today with a smile because a man with nothing to lose sees opportunity everywhere. I love that last line. So I introduce you to you, Rob Brink.
Thank you. Let's get things squared away here. So we already got the faith stuff. There we go. There are things pastors don't get to say. Things like, shut up and go away. I'm tired and you're very annoying. Like you're allowed to think it. They just get upset if you actually say it out loud. Some pastors can drink and some can cuss, but the thing no one is allowed to say is, I don't believe this anymore. So, I got out. And now I'm just a guy who thinks stuff, and the thing I think is, I don't buy this anymore. I still like Jesus, I just don't think he's God. I don't think there is a God. And when I told my family, they were so excited! Yeah, not exactly. They didn't know what to do. Like, from their perspective, I had just destroyed all of my foundations. From my perspective, I finally got some. And that's what we're talking about today. I need a volunteer to play a simple guessing game. Anyone brave? Want to come up front? My man. Give him a hand. All right. Now, the way we play this thing is driving me insane. So it's a simple guessing game. There's three numbers. Okay, the three numbers fulfill a rule. I know the rule. You got to guess the rule. The way you guess the rule is by guessing three numbers, and I tell you if they fit the rule. So you can guess as many times as you want. You get as many guesses as you want, and I'll even get you started. And to prove that this is fair, I'm going to write the rule down here, so that we'll reveal it at the end of the game.
I don't cheat.
All right. So, Bob, you want to be my referee here? Okay, so you're the only one who knows. Don't give it away. All right, so we have a rule, and I'll get you started. I will tell you that your initial set of numbers is 2, 4, and 8. 2, 4, and 8 fit.
Fulfill that rule.
They fulfill that rule. And you can guess as many times as you want. I'll tell you yes or no whether they fit the rule.
Well, first obvious one is they go up by even numbers, 2, 4, 8. So it's, you double it. No. 2 to 4 is 2. And then 4 to 8 is 4. So it would be 2, 4. So maybe the next one would be 6. 14. No. 14 is my next number.
No, you had to offer a set of 3. So you give me a new set of 3,
okay,
and I tell you if they fit the rule.
Okay. 2, 4, 8, so it'd be up.
We're all sitting here, so glad we're not up there.
Right. We've all got good guesses, though, right?
3, 6, 12.
4, 6, 12. I'll go with that.
3, 6, 12.
Oh, 3, 6, right, 3, 6, 12.
3, 6, 12, yeah, does fit the rule.
Woo!
What's the next one, Ryan?
4, 8, 16.
Also, fits the rule.
5, 10, 20.
Are you sure you don't want to just let him play?
I throw my voice pretty good.
Nice. So, no, well, do you know the rule?
No.
All right, so you guess until you know the rule, and then you tell me the rule.
What was it?
5, 10, 15?
No,
5, 10, 20.
5, 10, 20. So you double.
Yes.
Yeah. 4, 8, 16. No.
That fits the rule.
4, 8, 16. So the rule is you have a number and you double it and you double it again for the next number.
That's your guess.
That's my guess.
You're wrong. Good job though. Give him a hand.
Yeah.
All right. That's actually a very unfair test. Most adult human beings fail that test. What's interesting is children still fail the test, but they fail it less frequently than adults do because they haven't had enough time to really get good at this bias, which is called confirmation bias. It's built into your brain. So let's reveal the... Bob, you want to tell them?
3 increasing numbers.
So the rule is 3 increasing numbers. Okay, the reason why that's unfair is unless you get really, really precise and persnickety, all of your guesses are going to confirm what you thought originally. Okay, and the reason why it's double unfair is your first one sets up the expectation. I gave you 2, 4, 8. Okay, which set the double rule that wrote that in your head. And then every guess after it, because the rule was so loose, confirmed the rule I wrote in your head until you've got all of this support for the rule I put in your head and you say, oh, it must be true. Except it's not. Okay. Everybody with me so far?
Yep.
Okay, and now you've got a party trick. You can do this to your friends. It's fun. If you need another example, just turn on your radio or your television. Okay, who here would like to see just for 1 week Russ shut up? Show of hands. Okay, and just to be fair, I mean, we're open-minded here. You can say the same thing about Rachel Maddow, right? They are two sides of the same coin. They are there to present an ideological slant. That's their job. That's why they get paid. That's why people tune in. Their audience loves them because it feels so good to hear someone else tell you you are already correct. Confirmation bias. It's everywhere. We swim in it. And the way to beat this bias, the only way, is to question your own guess, to take the rule in your head, and instead of guessing something that confirms the rule, you intentionally guess something that would break the rule in your head. That's the trick. So how would that have worked with our game? The rule I primed you with was double-double, right? And I also primed you kind of with even. So even's the easiest one. Your first guess has got to be, you know, what, 3, 6, 12. Because that includes an odd number. Okay, you did that. So that was good. That's progress, right? You know it's not just even numbers. But then everything else after that was double, 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 double. We just kept confirming our guess. So what would be a guess that would disconfirm double, double? What? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3 would still get you a yes. You would expect a no based on the rule in your head. So you would actively choose to disconfirm the rule in your head. You would get the unexpected yes and go, uh-oh. And now you've begun actual learning. That's how you break out. That's what we call science. If you do that, if you try and you try, you create a rule and then you break it, and then you create a rule and you break it, and you create a rule and it works, and then it works, let's say, 14 times, you can be confident that it's probably right. Can you be sure? No. But you can be confident on a progressive curve that you are getting closer to something true. That's what I'll call a small truth. It doesn't explain everything. It explains one thing accurately. Now, the brilliance among you are wondering what any of this has to do with real life or church or anything like that. And the answer is everything. You guys exist to help the people who didn't show up today. Right? That's the whole reason you're here. You said it at the beginning of the day. So, you look out and you see functionally infinite need. Do you have functionally infinite money? Pretty sure that's a no. And that means you have to choose. You have to pick. How are we going to help? Who are we going to help? How much are we going to help? And the churches, each church has their own answer. Because they got it figured out, right? You just say the sinner's prayer and then they go into heaven and you might as well shoot them now because they're done. Or some other church says, you know, we're in social justice and so we're going to foment for social change within the greater Madison area and we're going to organize sit-ins and we're going to make the legislation change and that's our thing. Each church has their answer. And of course, the corporations have their answer. And the politicians, well, they got to, you just ask them, they got answers. But here's my problem. When there's that many answers, the one thing you know for certain is they're not really answers. I call this the Walden bookstore test. Okay? You walk into any bookstore and you look at how many books there are to fix a given problem. I have a plumbing problem. Oh, look, there's the plumbing book. You know, you got your choice. You got Bob Vila and some other guy, right? I have a spiritual problem about how to get over addiction. You've got, you've got a wall of books, like a whole section labeled self-help. Okay, that means there's no answers. There's 1,000 answers, which means we don't really know. If we knew, there'd be one book. What we have instead are opinions, and opinions reek of confirmation bias. Right? Take, for example, young Dylan Roof. Do you remember Dylan? Okay. He's the one who brought the gun to Wednesday night Bible study at American, what was it? Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. Killed 9 people. And left us all wondering, how? Why? How does that, like, is he just broken in the head? Or was he manipulated? Or, well, the cool thing about living today is we actually know the answer. Because he left a blog. And they found it. Like a week after he did this. And in his own words, he says, quote, The event that truly awakened me, his words, was the Trayvon Martin case. I read the Wikipedia article, and right away, I was unable to understand what the big deal was. I mean, it was obvious Zimmerman was in the right. But more importantly, this prompted me to type the words black on white crime into Google. And I've never been the same since that day. The first website I came to was the Council of Conservative Citizens. There were pages upon pages of these brutal black-on-white murders. I was in disbelief. At this moment, I realized something was very wrong. How could the news be blowing up the Trayvon Martin case while hundreds of these black-on-white murders got ignored? End case. End quote. That's how he got started. He had an idea in his head. He Google searched it, and surprise, surprise, people agree with me. But you know he had the idea already in his head because of what he typed. He typed black on white crime. He could have typed, did Trayvon deserve it? He could have typed, is citizen justice effective? He could have typed, neighborhood watch violence, if he wanted to educate himself on the topic. But he had an idea in his head, and oh look, the internet provided him with a slew of confirmation. Look at all these people who agree with me, it must be true. And confirmation bias turned the flicker of his privilege into a flame of racism. So he made his plan, he got his gun, wrote his manifesto, and went to Bible study. He sat with them for an hour while they discussed the Bible. You remember the Bible, right? Love one another, forgive your enemies, like not shoot them. He was sitting with a doctor, a state senator, and a teacher, but he didn't see them because they did not fit the story in his head. He didn't hear them either. They were doing a Bible study. Pray for those who abuse you and spitefully use you. But he didn't listen because those words didn't fit the story in his head. When he finally couldn't stand the mental dissonance between the story in his head and the reality around him, he stood up and said, quote, I have to do it. You rape our women and you're taking over our country. Now, I know that the Old Testament is dark, but I'm pretty sure that's not in there. That's the story he carried with him into the room. Everything that confirmed it was proof. Everything that disproved it was ignored. That's confirmation bias. And that exact same bias is built into our brains. The KKK is not the enemy. The media is not the enemy. Racism is not the enemy. Self-satisfied certainty is the enemy. The unfounded confidence that we are correct, that's the enemy. And reality is the cure. Reality is the check. It's the balance. It's the test. It's the only judge of truth. Is it better to just hand a poor person a dollar? Or is it better to hand them a sandwich? $1 worth of sandwich. That's a testable opinion. You can run a double-blind experiment and find out what works better in your neighborhood. Are white people more intelligent than black people? Also testable. And of course, that age-old argument, should the toilet paper go over or under? You can actually record how much bacteria exists on the paper, roll one way or the other. You can test it. You can test how much effort it takes to reach up as opposed to reach under. You could do 100 split test experiments where they pull and see how many times does it come off clean and how many times does it just go onto the floor. You can test it, but nobody does because they already know the right answer. Obviously, it's over. Duh. They've got the big truth all figured out in their heads, and they accept whatever confirms it. They explain away whatever doesn't. They, because of course that's all those people's problem, right? That doesn't apply to us. We're different. Have you, how many children of the 80s do we have? Anybody? Gen Xers? Right. You watch G.I. Joe? Okay. You get to the end of G.I. Joe, the same thing every time. They do the moral of the story. And then there's the little kid, the wide-eyed, like newly enlightened. No, I know! And knowing is half the G.I. Joe. Except it's not. Just because you know your brain has a built-in bias doesn't mean you're magically out from underneath that bias. It's hardwired. You don't get to think your way out of it. You learn to cope with it. It's like losing an arm. You don't think your way out of, oh, I guess I gotta just tough it up. I'll just pay more attention and now I'll be able to write with my non-existent right hand. No, you have to learn how to cope. You have to learn how to compensate. So what I'm offering you today are a couple compensation strategies. Are you with me? I know it's warm. Are you with me? All right. So this is the first clue. This is your first compensation strategy. You could call it a clue or maybe a warning sign that you are slipping into or already trapped in a bias. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to Puff. He's my invisible dragon. He goes with me everywhere. Say hi to everybody, Puff. He likes you. Oh, that's so sweet. I'm glad that some of you can see him anyway. How about you doubters? Is there anybody here that cannot see my pet dragon, Puff? Okay. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to prove me wrong. Okay. What test could we run to prove that my invisible dragon is not actually standing here? Sure you can. Yeah, you could do a survey. How many people see him? How many people don't? Okay. It's not super scientific, but it works. It's a good start. What else?
Roast marshmallows with his fire
breath. Yes. See? If you've got a real dragon, then he would be able to roast marshmallows. I happen to have a marshmallow, so let's get going. No, you don't understand. Puff is not a fire-breathing dragon. He's a gentle dragon. Next test.
Step on his toes.
Step on his toes? Ooh. All right. Are you ready, Puff? Yeah, that's not going to work because Puff has really tough toes. Next test. Yeah.
We need to know what you think he can do.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay. So you can investigate. That's good. I could say Puff can fly and he's invisible. He's got tough toes and he really likes marshmallows.
We can't disprove any of this.
Right. What else you got? Give me one more test and I'll let you off the hook. Can I prove it? I could say, if I were in your shoes, I could say, let's get some powdered sugar and sprinkle it in the air right here. Okay, because Puff is obviously standing right here. And if he's invisible, then the powdered sugar would reveal him, correct? Except that he's powdered sugar permeable. Okay? And he does have tough feet. So we could put a scale underneath him and we could weigh him, except he can fly and he likes to play tricks. So as soon as you got the scale under him, he would fly. And then the weight would just stay zero all the time. So I hope what you're noticing is that I already know the answer. I never have to do the test because I know how the test is going to turn out. Because somewhere in here, I know Puff isn't real. This is the trick. This is the tool. If you ever find yourself explaining away the results before you do the test, you already know somewhere in here that you don't believe this anymore. Because if I really believed that I had an invisible friend named Puff, I'd be like, yes, get the powdered sugar! Someone will finally believe me that I have a friend! And he's real. Get it now. He's standing right here. But I don't. So that's your first test. That's your first clue. When you're in an argument and someone says, yeah, but, and you go, no, 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 that won't work because you already know the answer, you're dealing with Puff. Okay, so Puff, what I'd like you to do is follow them all home and stay with them forever. He says he will. Yep. He's no, that's one of his things. He's magic. Hello. He can go with all of you at the same time. Okay, so our next tool, first one is Puff. Pay attention to when you're fighting with invisible dragons. Because now that you hear it, you'll notice it. The second one is simpler and also harder at the same time. I want you to go out there and combat the scourge of homophilia. Not homophobia. Obviously, we're all against that. Okay? Homophilia, or colloquially known, boy, I can't even say that word, colloquially known as like attracts like. Okay? I'm into stuff that agrees with me. That's why I watch Rush or Rachel or whatever. And there's never been a better day or time for it. Like back in the Dark Ages, to achieve this level of protection from dissonance, you would have to have a lot of money to buy flunkies and yes men and sycophants. Now you can get all of that for free online. You can turn on your hot and cold running media and get news pre-slanted to your preference. If we choose to, any one of us can spend our lives in a carefully constructed echo chamber, which will never challenge us. At the very best, it will encourage us to live out our ideology faithfully. And that's good. That's good for voting blocks. That's good for swaying city councils. That's all. It's good. It's just not good enough. The world has plenty of made-up minds already. You're here because you want to be different. So my challenge to you today is to go home, and if you're a Facebook person, go to the other team and click like. Okay? And let some of that dribble populate your feed so that at least once a day you're exposed to someone who disagrees with you and not some partisan hack, like a real intelligent person who thinks the other way. If you're a blogger, subscribe to somebody else's blog. If you're a newspaper person, you probably don't want to read two whole papers every day, but what you could do is subscribe to the other side's best monthly magazine or quarterly magazine and force yourself to read it. Homophilia is a disease no one can cure. You can only treat the symptoms through intentional, uncomfortable exposure to other people's thoughts. That's today's challenge, to practice the difficult art of disconfirmation, also known as rational scientific thought. I really don't care what you believe, because reality doesn't care what you believe. Reality is the same regardless. So take what you know and test it. And whatever stands at the end of the day might be worth believing. Thank you. I think that is the central argument of modern Western culture, that we are engaged in a probably 1,000-year struggle so far to allow ourselves to confront reality, to allow reality to confront us, to accept that the world is round. And we've been fighting every inch of the way. And I think we, 100 years from now, we'll still be fighting.
So we thank you for your presentation. Our closing words are going to be read by...
I'm Kathy.
These are words from Terry Pratchett through the character Lord Vetinari from his novel The Truth, a novel of Discworld. Remember that they get uncomfortable when you tell them new things. New things aren't what they expect. They like to know that, say, a dog will bite a man. That's what dogs do. They don't want to know that man bites a dog, because the world is not supposed to happen like that. In short, what people think they want is news, but what they really crave is olds. Not news, but olds. Telling people what they think they already know is true.
We invite you to greet your neighbor and stay around and have some coffee and socialize.